Good morning. We want to welcome you to Little Spatara. It's such a joy to be in the house of the Lord on such a sunshine-filled day. We welcome you and are so glad you're part of our fellowship here at Little Spatara. We just want to highlight a few announcements for you. If I can find my bulletin. Bud, do you have an extra bulletin you can grab for me, please? Thank you, sir. Membership classes are starting this Wednesday, so we would encourage you, if you've considered membership classes here at Little Spatara, to become a member. We'll start those at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, and we look forward to seeing you on Wednesdays. And that's for people being baptized and also just people who have questions about becoming a member here at Little Spatara through a transfer from another church. And we appreciate you coming out on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. We do want to just highlight that there are Easter flowers still for order, and they'll be for Sunday, March 27th, and you can order them until March 8th, and that's lilies and mums and azaleas, and that sign-up sheet is in the narthex. We want to invite you on the 6th to an intergenerational game night. It starts at 6 and ends at 8. I hear there's going to be human hungry hippos, which sounds absolutely fantastic, enough so that I'm going to bring the video camera to get a capture of what that looks like, and board games and any games that you want to bring along. So we invite the whole church to come out and enjoy in an evening of just intergenerational games. And if you want to bring a snack, we'd really appreciate that as well. Again, March 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. And earlier that day, you're invited to celebrate a 90th birthday party with a drop-in party, and that's from 1 to 5 for Mary Bayshore. So we appreciate any cards that you might have for her as well. That's in the narthex, a box for you to place those. So this is all information found in your bulletin. And so as we consider the pictorial directory, you'll notice in the back there are computers set up. If you haven't had a chance to take a look at May 17th to 21st, those are the dates available, and you can contact Denise or you can see her at the back of the church and she can get you signed up, and we look forward to that pictorial directory that will be happening May 17th to 21st. Are there any other announcements that you would like to highlight this morning? Next week is our Youth Yummies, so in between services there'll be some snacks provided for you, and they're always such a delicious snack for us to enjoy with our coffee. But any other announcements this morning? We are still looking for volleyball players. If anyone's interested in joining that team, contact Rachel Grady, and we'd love to go to E-Town College on May 21st, but we'd like to have a team of six. That would make it wonderful, but anyone that's interested, just let Rachel know, and we'd be glad to join together in a time of volleyball. All right, let's pray, and we'll rise and join in our opening hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. Father, again, thank you for this opportunity to gather, to worship you, to know that you are indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, we just empty ourselves now in these next few moments as we prepare to worship you, realizing that you are the Creator God. You have made us in your image. And so we turn to you, Father, and we lay aside any burdens that we have and just ask you to move in our midst. May you have your way with us during this service and throughout the rest of the days of our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Oh. My name is Mary Magdalene. I too was there on that horrible day. There's much speculation about me in the Bible, but none of that really matters now. All I will tell you is that from the moment I met Jesus, I was never the same. He cast out the demons that controlled me and made me a new person. My old lifestyle was gone. How could I not honor this man, Jesus, the man who gave me new life? I followed him, I supported him, I'd love to hear him speak, but then things turned dreadfully wrong. I still followed him. I was there at that mockery of a trial they gave him. I saw my Lord beaten and humiliated by the crowd. I stood as close as I could to try to comfort my Lord as he hung there and suffered on the cross. I could barely contain myself. Then my greatest fear was realized. I went early that morning, the day after the Sabbath, to his grave, and they had taken my master's body. I turned to the gardener to try to see if I could find out what was going on, and it turned out that he was actually my Lord. When he called me by name, I knew instantly that Jesus had chosen to appear to me first. How blessed I am. I love this man, my Lord, my Savior.
We each recognize the power of Jesus in our own lives. We each know the difference that Jesus has made for us. And there comes times in our lives where we rejoice with one another. And in those times, we pray and thank God for that excitement that he's given us. But there's also times where we realize we struggle and we suffer and we go through illness and we deal with life's difficulties, and it's in this time where we come before the Lord and we share our joys, our celebrations, and we share our concerns that are on our heart. And so you'll notice each week in the bulletin, we have a list of prayer concerns that we invite you day after day to return to and pray specifically for those individuals. And we just want to add to those lists from the early service, a baby named Andre, and we're asking for healing, and we're praying for the community that the tornado hit in Lancaster. And we're also praying for Mary Jo Flory Story, who's now at Hershey, and she'll be coming out of sedation beginning this week. And so we pray for her healing touch as well. And we also want to lift up Lisa Gagliano, who's going in for surgery this week, and ask God's protection and healing over her. And we just continue to ask you of any joys or concerns that you may have to share as a microphone's passed around.
I'm glad that everyone is okay.
Amen. That was quite the storm that came through. Lots of wind, lots of rain.
I would like prayer for a young fellow that came into the gathering place. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in our celebrations. We come to you in our brokenness. And we know that you are a God that hears our prayers. And Father, we know that often we wait and we wait and we wait for an answer, and it seems like it never comes. But Father, we pray persistently. We pray that you would move in the prayer concerns that we have upon our lips this morning. We think, Father, of our Nigerian brothers and sisters facing persecution and death day by day. And we're praying that you would shield them, you would protect them, you would guard them, Lord. And that peace would be still in that part of this world. We think of those that are in the hospital now. We think of Pete and we think of Naomi and those that are in recovery and Robert and Roberta and those awaiting solutions to the medical issues they're facing of Jen and Jess and Mary Jo Flory's story. And we just pray, Lord, that you would move in their midst, that you would allow them to know that you are near. We pray, Lord, for the baby Andre and ask your healing touch. We think of the tornado victims and the rebuilding in that Amish community and how they come together and pray that we would respond as Christians, as followers, to help in those tragedies in this world. We think of Aman from the cafe and the difficulties he's struggling with in life right now, and we're praying that your hope would just be poured forth into his life and that he would come to know you personally. We think of others on our heart, Lord, this morning. We think of Naomi and the pneumonia that she has, and we're praying in Jesus' name for your healing touch upon Naomi. We pray you would continue to journey alongside Janelle and just allow that healing in her wrist to take place, Lord. We think of Catherine and Ken and Ruth, and we lift up our brother Jim this morning, and we just pray, Lord, that your healing would indeed just go forth and just allow that cancer in Jim to cease in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord. We lift up our brothers and sisters here this morning. Whatever they're going through, Lord, we just pray you would enter into their circumstances and show your love, show the compassion that you have for them. And we thank you for each one and ask your blessings upon them. And we pray now, Lord, during these next few moments of silent prayer, you would hear our confessions, the sin, Lord, that has crept into our lives, that we would bring it to you. And as a result of confessing it, we would receive forgiveness and turn from that sin. And Father, we also lift up prayers that we have on our hearts during this time. Father, not a moment goes by that we're not mindful of you. We know in every area of our lives that you want to be Lord. And so, Lord, we're just taking this moment to surrender to you and to allow our lives to line up with your will. Father, we know the places that you are calling us to go. We know the way that you're moving our hearts to touch the lives of others. But, Lord, we know there's fear. And so we're releasing that fear in Jesus' name and asking you to take us where you're calling us to go. Father, we continue to surrender in this service and continue to pray for your will to be accomplished and for your mission to go forth. Thank you for the forgiveness offered through the cross. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
In 1 John 4:8, it reads, God is love. And John 3:16 infers that God gave. God's loving nature was the reason for more than just giving. He created, he redeems, he provides, he forgives, he restores, and even more. Yet almost everything God does can be put under the heading of giving. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you to give out of the love that we have for you and the love that you demonstrated for us. We pray, Lord, that we would think of our time, we would think of our talent, and we would think of our treasure and realize that all we have comes from you and belongs to you. And we pray, Father, that we would be indeed good stewards of all that you have given us. Thank you for your love and thank you through your hands that we can be a blessing through our offering. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
invite any other children to come join me up front?
What?
Sure, you can sit right here.
I need to grab something quick. What's in the middle today? How many of you know what this is?
It's a light bulb.
It's a light bulb, that is right. Electric lights, what?
One day, little boy, maybe he, that bad boy, he took out the light bulb.
He took the light bulb out in the garage. Wow. Electric lights have been around forever. And we never give them a second thought. We just go up to the light switch and flip it on, and the lights turn on. Do you know who created the first light bulb?
No.
Thomas Edison. That is right. It took him 24 hours to make it. Do any of you know how long 24 hours is?
A lot.
A lot of time, yeah. That's right. It is a whole day. 24 hours is a day. Tom, what, Graham?
He couldn't even dare to do a day, night, day, night.
Day, night, day, night. That is right.
It could take 20 days.
20 days to make a light bulb? That's a little long.
It would really take 3 days to make a lot.
It would take 3 days to make a lot of them? Yes, that is right. Okay, so Thomas Edison, he made the first light bulb, and it took him 24 hours to make it. He gave it to a little boy about your guys' age to take it upstairs. I'm not giving you my light bulb. To take it upstairs and to put it away for safekeeping. Do you know what the little boy did when he got up to the top step? He broke the light bulb. He went downstairs afraid he might be getting yelled at by Thomas Edison, but Thomas Edison forgave him. He said, "It's okay. I'll just make another one." Took 24 more hours to make another light bulb. He gave it to the same little boy. That's forgiveness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. He forgave the little boy for dropping it. If someone broke it?
I would say it's okay.
Yep, you would say it's okay. So he gave the little... If someone broke it, you would say okay.
And then I would let him fix it.
You would have them fix it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah? So he gave the little boy a second chance to go and take that light bulb upstairs too. And that time, he didn't drop it. In the Bible lesson today, Jesus teaches us about God's forgiveness. Jesus tells a story about a man who has a fig tree garden. Do any of you know what a fig tree is?
Oh, I know.
What?
A fig tree is, it grows.
It grows really big, yes.
Called
thing. Yes.
And they grow this big.
They grow that tall. That's really big.
Yeah, they grow this tall.
Well, he had those growing in his vineyard. Do any of you know what a vineyard is?
A vineyard is something that's very rare.
It's very rare.
Very old.
Yep, and it's very old. He went to this vineyard expecting to find some fig trees and some figs on those trees. But you know what that guy found instead of some figs? He found nothing.
What?
He found nothing.
Nothing in the trees?
Nothing in the trees. He went to the owner of the vineyard and said, "Why is there no figs on these trees? I've been coming here for 3 years and there's still nothing on these trees. You should cut it down and get rid of it forever, because it's not making any produce." The owner of the vineyard said, "Let it go for one more year. He'll take care of it." He put extra fertilizer on it, and the next year, the fruit came on. There was fruit on the tree when the guy came back. In the story, the owner of the vineyard is God. The keeper of the vineyard is Jesus. And the trees? That's us. Yeah, we're trees. God has a reason to expect, he has a reason for us to expect us to make fruit. Do any of you know what the fruit of the Spirit is?
Oh, I know.
What is it?
It's love,
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Sometimes we don't produce good fruit, but God forgives us and he loves us. and he gives us a second chance. You eat lots of fruit?
I eat lots of protein every single day.
Oh, yeah? Wow, good job. He gives us second chances, just like Thomas Edison gave the little boy a second chance to take the light bulb upstairs. And with Jesus' help, we're able to produce the good fruit that God wants us to have. If we let God in our lives and allow Jesus to work, he will help us produce the fruit that God wants us to make. Aren't you guys glad we have a loving and forgiving God? Yeah. Yes? Yeah. I know I sure am. Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful that even though we don't always produce the kind of fruit you desire, you give us a second chance. Help us to allow Jesus to work in our lives so that we can produce the kind of fruit that you want from us. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and he helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. So as we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that he will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
As we enter this third week of Lent, we're challenged to recall that we serve a God of second chances. And praise him that we do. We're not immune from making the same mistake over and over again. But like the light bulb, we too can be changed by knowing we are being made new day by day. We, my friends, are a work in progress. We accept the fact that we'll never be perfect, but some of us may die trying. 1 Peter 5, 6-11 helps us this morning. We hear Peter saying these words, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. That image we carry of ourselves that's scarred by the world is being restored into an image only God can create. No longer are we buried in the past. No words that have been said can damage us. In Jesus' name, we are lifted up out of our pit of despair. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. We are being made strong, firm, and steadfast. We're not at all, brothers and sisters, who others define us as. The devil cannot, the devil will not get a foothold. May the tongue of our enemies be tamed and their words cut off by the blood of Christ. For friends, we know that we are defined by a loving, a forgiving, and a grace-filled God whose mercies never fail. That broken light bulb syndrome we carry is being replaced, repaired. It's being made whole by God himself. Friends, we do ourselves a favor when we cast our anxieties on him because he cares for us. There's never a time God will leave us. Never a time God will forsake us. There may be times we question him. We doubt his existence. We wonder why the events around us are happening. But in it and through it all, we do not lose hope. You see, the hope of this Easter season is coming for us all. That Jesus is victorious and he has been raised from the dead and we are never the same. We simply cannot, we will not give up believing that God will act on our behalf and bring justice in our trials. It's not ours to avenge, says the Lord, it is his. And this brings us to our scripture passage for this day. I'd invite you, if you have your Bible, to turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. But before we get there, I want to share a bit of background before we read it together. Luke's writing this letter as an orderly account of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We'll note, as we read the gospel further in the coming week, there's a precise attention to detail than any other gospel. This current passage comes amidst Jesus' teaching and healing ministry. We have to remember that Jesus has been attracting a lot, and I do mean a lot, of attention. People were quite interested to hear what he had to say about a number of issues. In this passage we're about to read, Jesus is teaching his disciples about prayer. He actually is confronting a poor understanding of prayer that we hold even today by pointing out something we're about to read. He's sharing this story for a very defined purpose. Friends, he knows our human nature and he gets straight to the point. Let's read it aloud together. Again, we're in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I'd like us to center in, to focus, to really concentrate on the words found in verse 1. They read, they should always pray and not give up. I'd invite us to say that together this morning, but change the they to we. We should always pray and not give up. Say that again with me. We should always pray and not give up. We've heard it called persistence, endurance, perseverance, patience, faith, keeping on despite difficulties, challenges, trials, and battles in life. We have to ask ourselves this morning, what exactly does diligent prayer look like? Does it mean we ask God for something only once? What if he doesn't answer right away? Do we take this as a sign he doesn't want to answer our prayer? These, my friends, are the questions that make the Christian faith so entirely difficult for many. Have you ever attempted something and it just didn't work out? How many of us would give up and say, forget about it? And how many of us would try and try again? I can remember many times trying to golf. As a matter of fact, I'm still trying to golf. But that little white ball can become very, very frustrating when it doesn't go the way it's supposed to go. And as this spring weather approaches, that anxiety that I talked about keeping from is building up as I consider that first tee. For others, it may take on a different look. The first time quilting or sewing, cooking or baking our very first meal. I still remember the smoke alarms piercing our ears as I tried making eggs. Yes, my friends, making eggs. And doesn't God have a sense of humor? If you stop by the cafe on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm making eggs. Maybe it was operating that farm equipment such as that John Deere or trying to back up a trailer. Can we say jackknife? Remember trying to ride the bike without the training wheels and then fast forward to driving a car? Many memories flood our minds of first attempts. I'll never forget that first swing at a slow pitch softball. You would think that ball slowly soaring through the air across the plate, someone would be able to hit, but not this guy. Three strikes, and guess what? You're out. It is possible in slow pitch softball, but I tried and tried again. You see, we're persistent. We keep chasing that dream. We don't easily give up, my friends. Again, Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us this morning, we should always pray and not give up. This is the one simple truth we're conveying through this story. The widow kept coming back and back and back for the same thing. Take a second. Think of the last time that you prayed. Did you say that prayer once and then give up because God didn't answer? Or did you continue to press in to pray more and more into that situation? I pray, friends, that we maintain boldness, that we maintain diligence like this woman in our story. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like that yellow Lamborghini Diablo I had on my wall as a child, if I keep praying for that, God's going to give that to me. Not at all, but God will act and he will listen. And he wants us to be persistent. If we're praying in God's will, if we're seeking forgiveness of our sin, living a life worthy of our calling, God listens and acts accordingly. In fact, one of the points of the parable is that God's character will move him to act without great delay. There's no question in our mind he is much more loving than an unrighteous judge who could care less about God and anyone else for that matter. But let's not stop there. We must read to the end of the story. It concludes in verse 8 by saying, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Notice, he asks this question rhetorically. Will the Son of Man find faith on earth? This question stands for us today. We like to think, of course there's such faith on earth. Just look at our gathering. But keep in mind, the type of faith God is looking for is one that does not give up on delayed answers to prayer. Friends, we must absolutely believe that God wants to work in and around us to accomplish his purposes. Again, Jesus is telling this parable so that his disciples, so that you and I would see what it means to always pray and never give up. Jesus knows that we get tired of asking for the same thing over and over. He knows that we often give up on praying when we don't see immediate results. And you know, can I be totally honest with us this morning? I believe this is why I'm so distraught over this new technology. We get the smartphone out, we ask Siri the question, and instantly we have the result. And I'm afraid we're starting to conceive that same notion when we pray to our Heavenly Father. And I'm as guilty as the next guy, and I repent of not pressing more and more into what God is asking. But he's forgiving, and he's just, and he's pleading with us today to develop that diligent and persistent prayer life. Think about that for a moment. When Jesus looks at the life of this church, Little Swatara, does he see a group of people with such faith that they pray always and never give up? Does he see us longing to know that he wants to work in the life of this church to accomplish his purposes in this world? And friends, we're all accountable to each of those questions. As we've journeyed together through this series, We Are Church, I pray we are starting to see the importance of teaching, the importance of fellowship, of communion, and of prayer. Seeing that we are built together, equipped with different gifts to fulfill the call on our lives to go and make disciples. We take that time to examine ourselves when we remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice of his body and blood. And as we close this morning, do we really believe that God is the only hope we have of accomplishing our mission? We've said it time and time again. It goes back to surrender. Friends, there's times we'll be tempted to give up on prayer and start working on our own abilities. But if we really believe that we can't do this thing without God's active working, then we will never give up on calling out to him in prayer. It's this type of faith that Jesus calls us to. And it's the only kind of faith that can push us to fulfill the task that God has given us. My prayer is that when the Son of Man returns, he will find faith on earth. And friends, there's a scripture found in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 that helps us go about our daily routine. It's a scripture that I would encourage you this week, if you've not already, to memorize and to put into action. If you have your Bibles, again, turn to Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. It reads, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit in all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always, always keep on praying for all the saints. Father, we know the mission that you have called us to. We know the task that lies before us. And Father, we know that we've tried and we've failed and we wonder, God, where have you been? But Father, we pray that you would continue to give us opportunities to share our stories with others, to demonstrate our love in practical ways because of the love that you have shown us. Father, grant us the peace that we long for in our different situations. We pray, God, we would indeed surrender. We would submit to your will for our lives. And we pray into that will in Jesus' name that it would be done. So, Father, thank you that we can come to you in prayer, that we never have to give up, that we can keep on praying. Father, hear our prayers as we continue seeking you in worship. Amen. whatever it is you're going through in life right now. In the name of Jesus, may we be able to trust him more. And in trusting him more, may we be able to know him more and more. And we pray for every circumstance found here in this room and amidst the lives of these people gathered here, that God would hear our prayers and his will would be done. Go in peace, discovering all that Christ has in store for you. Amen.